There was a tiny X of masking tape stuck to the center of the middle couch cushion. Her parents, when he realized as she stepped closer, had measured out a spot for her so that she'd be sitting exactly evenly between them, not 1 millimeter closer to one than the other. But Winnie, who was pretty used to her parents being weird, decided there was nothing to do but sit. Button sat too, hopping right into her lap. "Winifred," her mom said. She cleared her throat. "Your father and I..." "Oh no," Winnie's dad cut in, putting up a hand to stop Winnie's mom. "We agreed I would tell her. You got to tell Winifred about the tooth fairy." Winnie's mom frowned. "I don't see how that's pertinent, Varun. This is entirely different..." "We discussed this," Winnie's dad argued. "But once again, you're attempting to ruin..." While Winnie's parents argued, Buttons purred a little louder in Winnie's lap, scrunching his head under her hand. Winnie scratched and scratched at Buttons' soft orange fur while her parents argued and argued. Winnie watched her mom, so angry with her dad. She watched her dad, so furious with her mom. Her parents might have been acting weird, Winnie realized, but the fighting, that was completely normal. And when she realized that, Winnie knew deep in her gut precisely why her parents had sat her down on that tiny X of masking tape.
And this is Lisa Graff. She's the author of what you've just heard. Her new book for younger readers is called The Great Treehouse War. Thank you so much for coming in today.
Thanks so much for having me.
I thought this was interesting because you're writing a book about divorce for young readers, but you're doing it with a very light touch. That can't be easy to do, to take on a really... It can be traumatic. I mean, divorce can be traumatic, but you're doing it with a certain dash of humor.
Right. Well, I went in wanting it to be really goofy, and I've dealt with divorce in some of my other books. It's something I have experience with. My parents divorced when I was 4, so it was my reality growing up. But for this book, I wanted to focus on really the absurdity that can happen when parents divorce and how they try to one-up each other. And it can be really funny and weird, and I thought that was a great way to approach it.
As the story goes on, her parents divorce. They live in separate houses. And right in the middle of their houses is a very large tree in which a house is built, a tree house. And she decides to protest her parents' bickering post-divorce by living in the tree house. And her friends decide to join her. And hilarity ensues.
Right.
Part of, I think, what Winnie is reacting to is her parents' divorce, but also they're trying to monopolize her time. Mm-hmm. These parents are smothering her. They're scheduling her time to such a degree that she's being suffocated. And
right.
That seems to be a really big driver of this story.
They adore Winnie. They love her. She's the center of their world. But they become so obsessed with proving to the other parent that they love her more that they don't really allow her space to breathe and do the things she wants to do and just even have time to do her homework. So again, that goes back to the absurdity of it. But I also wanted to juxtapose that with her friends who end up having gripes with their parents that are sort of more grounded and normal.
And what you've created is a situation which might be almost every child's great wish
right.
is to live away from your parents without the trouble of actually running away from home. But you get to live in a house with your friends, with your parents being out of the picture for
mm-hmm.
a while. I think that's a fantasy that many young children entertain.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it sounds really, really fun. And it in the book, it goes really well until it goes really badly.
And then it all comes crashing down.
Right.
You said that you yourself, when you were young, your parents divorced mm-hmm. when you were 4, very young. And I'm wondering if in writing this book, do you sense that this is the kind of book that you would have wanted when you were a girl trying to cope with your family life?
Yeah, it's funny because my first, I guess, 4 novels that I wrote had very traditional, quote unquote, traditional families where the parents were married. And even though I dealt with other larger issues in those books, divorce wasn't a thing. And then I started to write my 4th book and I realized, you know, I don't know why I keep writing about kids with married parents. That was not my experience. I had step-parents, I had step-brothers and sisters, I had half-brothers and sisters. And so I thought, you know, there's a lot of kids living that reality. When I was a kid, I remember one book that I found with divorced parents, and I loved it because it didn't deal with it in this really traumatic way. It was just the reality that these kids lived in. And I really clung to that book because it spoke to me and it reflected my reality a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. Now, The Great Treehouse War is set. You live in Narberth? Did I
yes.
get that right? And you're moving soon.
I am, yes.
To another suburb of Philadelphia.
Yes.
You're not from here. You're from California, mm-hmm. the Big Bear. And now you find yourself in this neck of the woods.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, the Great Treehouse War is set. I think you actually are. It's a fictional town, I should
yes.
say. You don't try to recreate Philadelphia, but you do name drop
yeah.
the town where this takes place.
Yeah, that was really fun. I'm trying to even remember the fictional town. I think it's Glenbrook. I threw in Glens and Brooks and Mars and tried to come up with something that wasn't real, and then I kept Googling it, and they were all real. But it's basically the suburbs of Philadelphia.
I wonder why you went. You live here. Maybe that's why you set it here. But is this a good place to set a story like this?
Yeah. I mean, I always try to ground my stories a little bit in reality, even one like this, which I like to say it has one foot in reality because it's not a fantasy, but sort of ridiculous things happen that don't typically happen in the real world. But it's always good to have a grounding.
Do you have the ability to interact with your readers somewhat? You hear back from the people who read your books?
I do sometimes, yeah. I'll get letters, I get emails, I Skype, I do a lot of school visits.
Do you get story ideas from them? I mean, I imagine you're trying to tailor the books you write to this demographic, mm-hmm. this age group, which can be fickle. It's an age group that they can grow out of these books, you know, in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
And so you have to write stories that they want to hear. How do you know what they want to hear?
I mean, to some degree, you don't.
No.
But one of the things, you know, talking about reader feedback and reader ideas for this book in particular, so I do all these school visits. I travel all over the country and I do huge assemblies where I get to talk to elementary school kids, which is one of my favorite parts of my job. And for the Great Treehouse War, I knew that I wanted Winnie to have this really spectacular treehouse with all the greatest things inside it, all the weirdest gizmos and just really fun stuff. And I knew that I wouldn't have as good of ideas for that as the students that I was meeting. So on this year that I was doing school visits where I was working on this book, I brought a giant bin that I called my idea bucket. And I printed out these little slips of paper that said, if I had a treehouse, I would. And I asked the students to give me ideas for my treehouse. And I made it very clear that if they put it in my idea bucket, it was mine. I could use it in my book. And they gave me these wonderful ideas. And a lot of the things not only ended up being ideas for things that she'd have in her treehouse, like an art station or a zip line and things that came to happen.
Of course you want a zip line.
Right. And some of these things had a huge part in the plot, but even things that ended up being part of her character came out of that, and just what it would be like to have your own cozy nook and your own little space that was just yours. And so sort of as a tribute to those kids, I used a lot of their names in the book too. So almost all the names of everyone in the book are from kids that gave me ideas.